The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. You know, after all the serious stuff we've been digging into, the voting corruption, nobody wants to look into this. We had a dad joke of the day sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. There's a blowout on the four remaining Delco trailers there right now. Three 7x14 dump trailers and one 7x20-foot equipment trailer that are marked down. Really good deals. Stop by and check them out. You can also submit your dad joke if you want. Doug from Rogue River, once again, for the win here. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like an old banana. Okay. Yeah, I know. I like that one. See, dad jokes are nice and fun and innocent, all right? Dad joke of the day here, Two Dogs. It's 5 minutes after 8. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Miner Dave.
Dave, what's on your mind, huh? Go ahead.
What's on my mind is they just indicted Eric Adams of New York City mayor.
Yes.
And it's really interesting. It was after he tried to get the Biden administration to give him money for the illegals all in his town.
Well, what they're going after him, supposedly, though, this is a sealed indictment. I don't know the whole story. Well, no one does at this point. But apparently it may be some weird financial dealings with the nation, the country of Turkey, is what they're looking at right now. Yeah.
You know, they just convicted that senator from New Jersey for taking gold from the Turks.
Maybe we'll see some more gold bars in Eric Adams' deal. Of course, he says he's going to fight it. He's, innocent until proven guilty, but certainly a lot of smoke right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, they try to go after Trump over bullcrap, and in this case, they end up tripping over their own party.
Yeah, it could be. Projection, Miner Dave, projection. Appreciate the call, all right? Gianna Michelli is going to join me here in a few minutes, and she's written a piece I think is quite interesting. Says that the deep state cannot handle any more Trump Supreme Court justices, and she will explain why here in about 10 minutes. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from 13 After 8. Gianna Michelli joins me. She is an expert cultural and lawful rights commentator. And what she works to do is expose the lawful angle of a situation. And she's also the author of the book, Free Dumb, as in D-U-M-B, The Patriot's Playbook to Restoring Your Rights and Freedom. And Gianna, apparently it's only available on your website, GiannaMicelli.com, because cancel culture, you're pretty much getting thrown off the conventional wisdom spots. Would that be fair to say? Welcome back to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much. I am always happy to be invited back. Glad you like what I say.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Gianna Michelli is in the Alienable University, if you could kind of break this down, and then we'll talk about your latest op-ed, which is quite interesting, really.
Thank you. I just started to research why the whole world thought a mandate was a law in the COVID. How did the whole world put a mask on their face? How did the whole world believe a corporation, which is not even a living entity, could make you get a vaccination, which is against the Nuremberg Code and the Geneva Conventions, and it didn't cross people's minds that they have rights. Hmm. And so once I learned that the way the government could tell a corporation to close, because I have an online business, but I was in Ruth's Chris the night of the shutdowns, and I'm like, what do you mean you can't come to work for 15 days? Like, a server cannot not work.
Yeah.
Most people cannot not work for 15 days. And it was all just okay with people, and nobody fought back. And I found the answer, and the answer was, it is, that if you, when you go to the government, say, hi, could I please have an LLC? You are asking them for permission to have so-called tax privileges where you could pay less tax because of your corporation, but they also become the owner of you. You've turned over your business to them. You have a right to private economic activity. How about you pay no taxes by not asking for privileges?
In other words, at its simplest, at its core, Gianna, where you tend to focus on is that everything we do then entangles us to the corporate and administrative state. Is that a fair assessment? Just about everything that we do as a normal part of our everyday life, whether it is getting a business permit, going for the zoning regulation, getting a driver's license, getting a social security card, which, of course, I guess is now being forced upon you when you were born in the hospital these days.
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm. What's that now?
Yes, you're exactly right. We would have an amazing dinner together because you get it. You don't have to get the Social Security, but the pressure on new parents with a child, and that's because the hospital is under the state. The car dealers are under the state. Mm-hmm. So the pressure is on both of those entities to be sure to get you in the system. As far as I know today, the hospital gets $4,000. They've got to get that birth certificate within the first week. So they're getting it within the first hour, and that baby goes into a system. It goes through not just the hospital, the county, the state, the federal. It goes to the DMV. Why does a newborn child's record have to go to the DMV the day it's born?
Well,
people say, where did you get this information? On their own website. This is all included inside the university. So the university is where you can learn about what I call F-O-C-K-E-R-Y. That's my handle on Twitter. You know, people understand what I'm trying to say. It's trickery. It's mechanisms. And under these mechanisms, the government believes and perceives that you volunteered to waive your rights. Now, if you ever went into that DMV and they said, hey, you're going to waive your right to travel by signing this document, who would sign it?
Right. Here is the issue that I have, because I would come back and say that I have viewed a lot of YouTube videos, Gianna. I mean, I appreciate the principle where you're coming from, a very much libertarian, but I don't know.
Better than a libertarian.
Yeah, better. Libertarian philosophy has not been proven to be a pretty good governing philosophy, in my view. Okay. But that being said, though, that we are born free. We are born free, and everything that we do essentially ties us into the beast. Would that be fair? Another way of looking at it. All right.
I like it. Yes.
Okay. The beast system that says that you turn your child over to them for 12 years, you better, or else you better homeschool, but you better homeschool using the curriculum that we approve of, et cetera. And then you'll come out and be a nice little productive tax mule. How about that? Is that a tax mule?
I like that. I might have to steal that. I think you're leading to what people refer to as sovereign citizen nonsense. And
right.
So to combat that, like I just read this great book by Patrick Bet David, Choose Your Enemies Wisely. And so people with those accusations, they're my enemy, you know, metaphorically, I must prove them wrong. Well, right.
Okay. All right. So you're not one of those people that goes up to the police officer as you're being pulled over and says, am I being detained? No, I don't recognize your authority, and drive away. And then they get tased to death and killed, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, there's a way to do it tactfully, of course. So here's the thing. Those people, if you have a plate on the car and you have a driver's license, because they're going to run your plate before they pull you over. They know who they're pulling over.
Sure.
That is where you unknowingly gave consent. You're in the contract. They do have authority over you. Now, all of my ticket victories were still when I had a license. I don't have a license any longer, mm-hmm. and I do have private plates on my car. And it's very funny. I won those victories because I would return the tickets. I'm not going to fight with an officer at the window. I'll take your ticket. Who cares? I'll stand for my rights, but they don't respect them, you know, that for the most part, 99%. I'll take my ticket. I will return it. I will call out how you violated my rights. I'm not driving in commerce. And so that's the root cause. They can never prove that I was. And I have a 100% success rate. There's a great, my first victory is on the website under my articles where I called out all the violations of my rights. Every traffic citation is a violation of your rights because you were offered a contract under the guise of fraud. Now, I've been driving in the private since January of 24. I have not been pulled over once, and I moved from Vegas to Florida. I've driven across the country. I drove up the country to Missouri and back. And I've never been pulled over.
What does your private plate look like? I'm just curious.
It has my initials and then the year of my birth, because here's something funny. I originally did that because I live somewhere where you may pull in to park and you have to pay to park and you enter your numbers, right?
Right.
And so I made it something easy. But now that I gave it more thought, where these parking places are. You know, remember when parking used to be free, you know, once upon a time?
Oh, yeah, I remember those days. Sure, sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're a certain age. And so what they did, the city, which is the public, turned that over to a third-party corporation to collect for parking. Now I no longer pay those. And I got a ticket. They claim I parked in front of a fire hydrant, but I did not. I literally walked the 15 feet. I am the daughter of a police officer. I would never park in front of a fire hydrant on principle. I am a child of God, and he's watching. So I walked out the 15 feet. I was with him, but they gave me a ticket anyway because they're scumbags. And I have a stamp. We have a stamp that is only sold inside my university. It has FU with an FU emoji on it. And I stamped it all over the ticket and I returned it because my car's in the private. They don't know who I am.
Yeah. So if you're not working as an Uber driver or a taxi driver, yeah, or hauling stuff around, you're in private transport in hand. And what are you going under, the old UCCs? That kind of thing? Is that where you're looking at the
no,
actual?
No, I'm in the private. So I'm not in a contract. Mm. They have to have a contract with me. And let me tell you something very interesting we just discovered. So one of my gals in my membership, she was my first member. She's been in a long time, since November of 22. Before she knew about driving in the private, she took her then 15-year-old, when he turned 16, to get the driving test. He failed the test. But he went and filled out the application. He failed the test. He was not issued a license.
Okay.
Now, fast forward, you know, 6, 7, 8 months down the road now, he's driving because he can drive her car with her permission as an unlicensed driver as per the common law. He did get pulled over and was issued a ticket. You know how they looked him up? Well, he gave his name, you know, which is fine to do. You're not going to get in an argument with the police officer. They issued him a driver's license number, despite that he didn't pass the test.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that shocking?
That's interesting. So okay.
Right? He's done some research that she thinks when you go in there with that birth certificate, that state birth certificate, they've been waiting for you. That number was already made. We don't know 100%.
Yet another encumbrance or an adhesion to the state, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, because of course she returned the ticket and she's calling out the judge and they're not backing down on her paperwork that this is an unlawful ticket. So she's at the point where she's reporting the judge and the prosecutor to judicial branch. You know, I don't remember exactly what it is, but these are just administrative agencies. It is the equivalent of Walmart trying to prosecute you. You don't have a contract with Walmart, but they use mechanisms to make you have one. Like the example we just said. So when I did surrender my license, which I did when I lived in Nevada, I went back 2 weeks later to be sure it was purged. Texas refuses to purge it. So even if you think you're driving in the private in Texas, which you are, you have a right to get out of the contract. But they think it's like the mob. We have people fighting the Texas officials, going all the way up to Governor Abbott and Ken Abbott. Ken Paxton, demanding the purge of the information. And they're telling PR people, no, we own the data. We don't own the contract. You can rescind any contract of fraud. So that's the battle happening right now, and we teach people the exact processes and to do that. So there's just some states that are a little more stubborn, but it's unlawful. And it's against your constitutional rights.
Are there any government institutions that have any power, any authority over you, Gianna? No, it's a serious question. Serious question. Gianna Maselli with me, okay?
Here's the thing. The rules, codes, and statutes, like everything's a statute. They have no jurisdiction over the living man. You have not committed a crime unless there is a victim and that victim signs a complaint or an affidavit under penalty of perjury.
Oh, I could swear 90% of what most people, including yourself, yours truly rather, have to deal with is based on victimless crimes. Just about everything that the state seems to be involved in is micromanaging your life in one form or the other. Like, for me, if I were to do 26 miles per hour in downtown Medford right now, that is considered, you know, an infraction, you know, driving there right now. Serious problems.
If it was a law, it would be called a law, but they're called codes, and the codes and the law are conflated, and they do that deliberately. And, you know, you booked me because of this fantastic article I wrote, Why the Deep State Can't Afford More Trump Supreme Court Appointments. So the people who make sovereign citizen accusations against me, you know, those are my unspoken enemy, you know, not just motivational enemy. Not
okay. I just want to be clear that you are not what you call the sovereign citizen nonsense that I was referencing, the people that are dragged out of the car and beaten by the cops, you know, that kind of thing.
Well,
right?
The terminology for sovereign citizen as being a negative was created by the FBI. It's like a manifesto they created in like 2012, where they're trying to intimidate people to not stand up for their rights. Even the FBI doesn't have a charter from Congress to operate. It's an administrative agency, and it has no authority that is not on federal territory.
And practically everything that we deal with in right now is via administrative law, non-Article 3 courts, right? Administrative courts, administrative agencies, administrative everything, practically, right? Is that where you're coming from here? Right.
When you're seeing these videos where people are sovereign citizen stuff, well, number one, Justice Gorsuch, I don't know if he's still on his book tour, but he was. So you can go on Google right now or go on YouTube. If Justice Gorsuch says we're sovereign, the people are sovereign. He's saying it himself, one of the top justices in the history of the world, and it's in his book. You are sovereign. The government was created by the people to protect our rights. So when you see the sovereign citizen people failing, they probably have the contract. You'll see them in court trying to stand up for their rights, and the judge is laughing at them. One, that's an administrative judge, and we have seen them hold up the license. Number one, you have a license. Number two, you showed up. If you show up to an administrative court, you are saying, I am under your authority. We have a very funny saying that, would you believe in Santa Claus? No. Well, if you don't believe this government has authority over you, but you go to court to fight, why would you go to the North Pole to tell Santa Claus that you don't believe in him?
Because sometimes they send armed men with guns, though, Gianna, to drag you in for failure to appear. How about that?
Have the license. When you don't have that belief, when you know how to remove yourself from the agencies, those are meaningless.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you what. If you're in the university, because we have hundreds of people bringing situations, they literally lie. These court clerks put you through like this automated. We have a man who has his license surrendered and purged, and he got pulled over. They pulled him over with a fake excuse. Oh, your light's out above your license. Like, really? Where's the victim? But they give him a ticket. Now, listen to the language. The ticket says driving without privileges. No, you have a right to travel. So says the Supreme Court in your First Amendment. But the ticket says driving without privileges. And having a fake plate. It's not a fake plate. It's not trying to pretend it's a Florida plate. So he uses our process to return the tickets. They issue a court date. He says, I'm not coming to your court date. I'm a living man. Then they issue a warrant for his arrest. So it looks like it. But then when you go to the sheriff's website or you call them, there's not really a warrant out for your arrest. They lie to scare you back into contracts. So we teach you how to acquire the lens with which to see the fraud.
This is very interesting. It's very thought-provoking. What about when it comes to the taxation of income, as it were? I'd be curious about this because I interviewed Irwin Schiff a number of years ago. You know, Peter Schiff's the financiers.
He passed away, right?
Yeah, he passed away. Yeah, Irwin Schiff died a number of years ago, but he died a political prisoner, in my opinion, in federal prison for having written his book about how to avoid paying income taxes, et cetera, which is kind of like where you're going to. And I'm a little bit concerned that Gianna Maselli, with the best of intentions, is trying to lead people down to the Irwin Schiff form of ending their life in federal prison. So you can understand me being...
I'll tell you what.
You can understand me being a little skeptical about this, because
sure.
I liked Irwin. He's a good guy, but he still died in prison one way
that
or the other.
Right. I will read the book, so I am prepared for this question. I have not read the book, but here's what I will say.
Okay.
If Irwin Schiff was still a taxpayer, that's a statutory term, then he committed tax fraud and tax evasion. Taxpayer, driver, judge, resident, occupant. Those are all human being terms, right? My dog can't be a taxpayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's alive. Those are statutory terms. And what they call in their legal mumbo jumbo, artificial person. Are you an artificial person? No, you're a living man. You always have to say. So when you remove the contract, which we have the paperwork to do that, it's irrefutable. We have tons of letters in the IRS class. You can read it in 2 hours and mail out your letters the next day. Once you leave, you're gone. But they will always send you what we like to call scary letters. And we teach you how to look at the language of the scary letter. So if Irwin did not remove himself from the contract and he didn't pay what he promised he would pay via his W-4, 1099, I don't know, but I will read the book very soon. And so I have an answer to this. If he didn't remove the contract, then he did something illegal. Illegal is only what you agree to. So let's say, and I don't know if I used this with you before because I do many of these interviews. If
yes.
I'm following you to the beach and you have a license and I don't, and you turned right on red where it says no turn on red, not during certain hours, not when it's safe, mm-hmm. no turn on red, and you turned on red, you have a license. You've now done something illegal because you've agreed to the contract of the driver's license with the Department of Transportation. I am unlicensed and I make the same turn. I have not done something illegal because I'm not in the contract.
All right. And the police officer does not pull you over, right?
Oh, he might pull me over. I doubt it because my license perimeter does say not for hire. They know that for hire means commerce. So I specifically have my plate says not for hire. Not that it works 100% because there's, hundreds of thousands of police officers and we are pioneering the re-education of them. The higher ups know. They have to have the plate. The state plate is like the flag. Like,
yeah. You know something, Gianna? This is the ultimate conspiracy, okay? Conspiracy theory. Or can you hang on for another second?
Yeah,
have a little more time? I want to talk with you for a little bit more, okay?
Your pleasure.
This is fine because sure. you're going to get me in prison yet, okay? But I'm just teasing you.
No, no way. I'll get you right out.
I'll be right back. Gianna Maselli and Inalienable University is what she runs, but it's GiannaMaselli.com. And of course, I'll put that up. It's quite thought-provoking.
Artisan Bakery Cafe invites you to swing by for their mouth-watering fall treats.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
What I love about Conspiracy Theory Thursday is that you sometimes go down the rabbit hole of just out-and-out conspiracies right in front of you, all right? But Gianna Maselli runs Inalienable University and a very thought-provoking website here. Talking about how we adhere ourselves via the driver's license and all sorts of other situations. Oh, by the way, this portion of the program is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, only a nursery with online pricing. We have to make sure and take care of lawful commerce here in Southern Oregon. Go to valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think. I don't know if the fact that they have a .com means that they have adhered themselves to the administrative state. I don't know, Gianna, but it's why you're here. Okay? Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So Scott from Grants Pass has a question here for you this morning. I think it's very thought-provoking, where you're going here. Hello, Scott. What question do you have for Gianna Maselli?
Yeah, I like your conversation on this, but one of the things, a number of years ago, I was connected to a constitutional attorney up in Washington State, my main thing there was how the government takes control of your property and tells you what you can and can't do on it. And he was able, by having us put property all paid for in a trust, a particular trust, pure business trust, that we would not have to listen to their rules. And I actually saw that happen. Now, so do you deal in that arena as well?
Did it work?
Yes.
Okay, I'd be surprised. Here's a couple.
Matter of fact, they were sent a letter. Some neighbors I had went all the way, put their property in a pure business trust, and what they did was when the inspector came out and said, "You need to stop building your house," and he says, "Well, you give it to us in writing, and then we'll have a conversation." So
I gave
it to him in writing. The attorney sent them a letter. And basically telling them they were looking at 10 years in jail, $250,000 fine, and I can't remember what the third thing was. So they got back another letter from the building inspector and says, "Gentlemen, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. We're fine with it."
That is an exciting and shocking story because in my position, there's no such thing as a constitutional attorney. Attorney represents people, and you can never have your rights when you're represented. You can only stand for your own rights. Here's what we do. When you record your property with the county, you have It's just like your car, just like your child. Mm. You've turned it over to them. So we do have a process where we teach you how to convey it to the private. And when it's in the private, like you would file a notice with the recorder, this property has been conveyed in the private. It has to be mortgage-free because you have to get the bank out of your life. And then it does not matter what they do. Let me tell you something, you guys. We had one of our members who's very proactive in the state of Missouri. And we have very different lives. He eats squirrel and I live in the city. But he did the homework to research who owned his county tax assessor's office. And he got the duns and the charter from it and found out one man owned it, and it was his legislator. The man who makes the rules owns the county assessor tax office. It's a private for-profit corporation acting and pretending to be government. So I insist everybody do this. I mean, it's something we need to really put a class into my membership, how to do that. There is so much corruption. It's ridiculous. So when you get it off the... When I say moving from the public to the private, like people who are getting squatters or getting their houses stolen, we've got that, I can't think right now, that title lock company. The only reason they can see your title is because it's in the public. So when you move it into the private, it cannot be taxed or stolen.
All right. Hey, Scott, I appreciate the call about that. Like I said, we could probably talk about this all day back and forth, and I could probably do all sorts of what ifs. But let me just toss this softball. Maybe you hit it, you know, between my ears or my eyes or whatever it is. Okay, and this would be: is there a possibility that your work here to bring everything into the private, which I would salute, you know, in many ways. I understand the reasoning for this because people feel so put out and completely tyrannized by the administrative state masquerading as a constitutional government. Okay. So I get that. Is there a possibility that the reason you have been able to function so far is that the state will realize that only a limited number of people will really stand up for their rights? And so you're not worth going after. And so, okay, let this handful of people, yeah, we'll put them on the list, and when the gulag times come, we know where to get them, or something like that. I mean, I know I'm asking you to kind of almost argue against your book, but you're not worth going after, and so they leave you be for now.
Well, no, I think they do understand eventually. Like the first time when I didn't know anything like I know today, the first time I stood up to a speeding ticket in Mississippi, I was driving cross-country, and I challenged the jurisdiction of it. It took three letters back to the clerk because their position, and even the officer, they're trained, oh, you don't have to plead guilty. Just sign this, which you're signing a contract, so never sign it. Just sign this, and you can go on this website and pay as if that's your only option. It took three letters back to the clerk. So the battle is really with the clerk, and I think that they do know. Three letters back to the clerk, and finally she just quit, and nothing happened to me. Nothing happened to my license at the time. I've never been, even my credit, nothing has been hit. When you stand, they fall. And we've got some stuff happening, like we're doing part of getting your house out of the public is recording it with the county recorder. Their job is to smile and file. And in the whole United States so far, we've only had Ohio and California push back with some stupid statute that they made where they think, we've said to them, you're a constitutional office. And they're like, no, we're a state office. No, sweetheart, you're constitutionally elected. And so we get victories over them, too. And it's very fun. And I'll tell you, it's really addicting.
All right.
I wish I could get in more trouble.
All right. So in other words, you don't think that this is one of these things where they leave you be, where it's not worth the trouble to go after you. Okay. Gianna Maselli with me. Let's talk about your op-ed piece, which I linked to, okay, on my website, which
Thank
is
you.
Why the deep state can't afford more Trump Supreme Court appointments. And, you know, you want to talk about someone that the administrative state has been pecking to death. I think he qualifies, doesn't he? Let me get your take. Why do you think that, you know, in spite of all of this, it's really about the Supreme Court?
Well, to combat sovereign citizen so-called nonsense, I've been putting everything I put out to the public with backed up by Supreme Court rulings, common law, the Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. things like that, so that I don't get censored, because you did mention in the beginning that I get censored. So I always want to back up my statements. And so I have to believe that when Donald Trump, you know, he had been stewing in this possibility of running for president since 2012, that when they first put out a list of the possible Supreme Court nominees, there was like 20 people on there, I have to believe he had private conversations. I don't know how the process works, but these two rulings, and what I'm referring to the summer of the Supreme Court, the Chevron and the Jarkissi, like the Chevron was the shot heard around the world.
Yeah, the Chevron deference, which essentially gave way more power that was undeserved and ungiven by Congress to the administrative state, the agencies, right?
Appointed administrative judges. I mean, it's like the FDA. Oh, here, we're going to rule that we didn't do anything wrong. The mm-hmm. fox guarding the hen house. It's so ridiculous.
Right.
But the Jarkissi one, hardly anyone's ever heard of this. And when these came out, my business partner, Scott, who is a law school graduate, who has taught me all the words that I speak to you, I've gotten this education this last year, he went tearing into those like a mad scientist, like he didn't come out of his office for days, read them, and I mean really, really read them, and pulled out, you know, some key points, which the first one, Justice Gorsuch issued a scathing ruling in the Jarkissi that the British attempted to evade American cries by siphoning adjudication to juryless admiralty, vice admiralty, and chancery courts. Those are all the administrative Article I courts. And another part of that, another sentence from there, is the Supreme Court in Jarkissi reaffirmed that actions involving private rights, that's your rights, private mm-hmm. rights,
private rights,
such as common law fraud, must be heard by an Article III court. There are 30-year attorneys who went to Harvard who have never heard of an Article III court. And it goes on to say Congress cannot conjure away the Seventh Amendment by mandating that traditional legal claims be taken to an administrative tribunal. It's right there. Who knows about the Seventh Amendment? Nobody really knows anything past five. But it's in the Seventh Amendment. It literally says common law jury. You have a right to a common law jury. But here's what happens, because we're in hundreds of court cases taking banks to task for bank fraud over mortgages. They don't have a system for this. Or if everything is set up in the code-based system. Now, if our country is based on the common law, how do we have Roman civil law statutory in all the courts? So you can't get an Article III court without demanding it, and it only happens in federal district court, and only if you demand it.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up about the Article III court, because there was the late Kirk Chancellor, as a man lived here in Southern Oregon, fought the county for years to get his jury trial in an Article III court over land use issues here in Southern Oregon. Never was able to get that because everything was always put into the administrative. I don't have time to go into this, but there are people who understand that concept, who get that concept. And yeah, the fight to have your rights in the Article III court really is the deal, isn't it? That is the...
Here's what happens. Mm-hmm. You don't understand the process. They will always trick you with their civil procedures. They don't really win on merit. It'll trick you with the procedures, and if you don't understand where the trap doors are, they'll pull you back in statutory, and that's how they get you. So that's probably what happened. But when you are on top of it, like my partner Scott, who is an absolute genius, they will acquiesce because they can't give it to you.
This is and so your take then is that one of the main reasons they had to try to take him out, or the deep state doesn't want him in there, is because of the continuing change of the court. Ultimately, it's the court that is really the battle for the soul of the nation at the moment.
We do believe these Supreme Court rulings are proving that they are returning this to a republic. Like if we could wave a magic wand, you know, Scott and I and what we teach. If you brought a suit, you're a living man, you walk into the clerk's office, oh, you're a living man, you go to this door is the Article III court, even in traffic court, even in state court. Oh, you're a corporation, you go to Article I. That would be normal and fair and in the law.
Article that. I for the non-humans, for the corporate structure.
Yes.
Okay. Okay,
well,
got it.
The dog.
Interesting.
The dogs will go to Article 3.
The dogs go to Article 3. All dogs go to heaven. Okay. All right. Gianna, that's really interesting. Now, I'm not going to say I endorse where you're coming from. I understand your principles to a certain extent. I haven't done a deep study. I'm just not one of those guys that, I'm so deeply, I guess, adhered to it that even someone like me is no hope, right? No hope is...
Well, if you've just got some time, you're on a train ride, a plane ride, sitting on a bus or something like that, just go on my Rumble channel. We have many clips because people have short attention span. There's many, many clips. The Inalienable Show, and that will get you warmed up. And if you're ready to take action, you join the university.
Okay. No, thank you for correcting me. Alienable. Inalienable University, not inalienable, right?
Either way, it works.
It does?
It's spelled right.
Okay,
yeah,
good. I just want to make sure it was a tomato type thing. But Gianna Maselli, I appreciate your thought process, and you're certainly winding some people up this morning. I have no doubt about that. But it's GIANNAMICELI.com is where you can find out everything about Inalienable University. And thanks so much for being on the show. You be well, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. It's 8:48. At KMED, 99.3 KBXG. This hour of the Bill Myers Show. 9 before 9, Diner 62 Real American Quiz. We have Renee Krishna, someone on line 3 who wasn't listening when I picked up, but we may not even get that far. I don't know. And Dory, who is standing by here. So let me go to line 1. Renee. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hi.
All right.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Renee, it was yesterday in history, September 25th, 1928. Congress established the Sequoia National Park in California. It was founded as a national park created through a law signed by President Benjamin Harrison. Now, Sequoia National Park was explicitly created to protect the giant sequoia tree. Now, just a week after Sequoia National Park was created, it was expanded once again through a law signed by the president. In March of 1940, Kings Canyon National Park, formerly known as General Grant National Park, was established to protect another stand of huge sequoias that were right next to the sequoias that were already protected. So I guess the question for you this morning is, what portion of natural growing sequoias are contained in both of these two parks? How many of all of these big trees, okay? Is it 1 out of 5, 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3, half of them, or 2/3? A, B, C, D, or E? What do you think?
I'm going to go with 2/3.
You're going to go with 2/3. You're thinking almost all of them. Oh, not this time, Renee, but let me go to Krishna. Krishna, you get a shot at this one. It's not 2/3. We have 4 answers left. 1/5, 1/4, 1/3, or 1/2. What do you say?
How about 1/4?
About 1/4. No, it's not that. Let me go to line 3 that wasn't paying attention before. Maybe he or she's paying attention now. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Calvin.
Oh, okay, Calvin. So it's not 1/4. It's 1/5, 1/3, or 1/2. How many of these natural growing sequoias are in both of these two parks? Okay?
1/5.
1/5. Is it 1/5? No, it's more than that. So let me go to Dory. Hello, Dory. How are you doing this morning?
Yes. Hi. Good, Bill. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. We're either having 1/3 or 1/2. How many of them?
1/3.
You're going to say 1/3 surveys. Hey, it's a good day.
You're a winner!
Good day for you. True to the original mission of the two national parks, the two parks today contain about 1/3 of all the sequoia trees that are naturally growing. It was at first pretty tough to access that park, Sequoia, with a little more than a park road serving as the entryway. But a road to the giant forest completed in 1903. So for the first time, the horse-drawn wagons, Dory, could get to the park. And then the growing popularity of car travel led to them building the General's Highway in 1926. And that opened up the giant forest to more visitors. And the nation's second oldest park, the elevation at Sequoia National Park, goes from 1,370 feet to almost 15,000 feet high over on the eastern border of that. So just amazing diversity of the geography there. So you're going to be going to Diner 62. I bet you're happy about that, huh?
I am. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know you will enjoy it. This is the Bill Myers Show.
I'm Cole Murray with you.
And I'm on KMED.
8:57, we have about 2-3 minutes left on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Conspiracy Theory Thursday, of course. And by the way, I wanted to respond briefly here. Debbie Sterling sent me a message and said, hey, Bill, sorry to bother you, but I just heard you when this is when I was talking to Gianna Amicelli. I heard you refer to Kurt Chancellor as the late. We were unaware. When did he pass? We were great supporters of him and his challenges. Debbie, this happened. I say Kurt died about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And I ended up finding out from some friends within the situation he ended up passing in the hospital. I forget from what, but it was natural causes. But yeah, it was just, you know, something gets us at some point. But I know he was fighting Jackson County forever on this one. And this having to do with getting his jury trial on land use issues. Let me go to Francine. Hello, Francine. How are you doing this morning? Welcome.
Well, I'm doing great, Bill, but I mean, I was shocked to find out how out of touch I am with what's going on, because it was only this morning that I first learned about gender bias among crash test dummies.
Oh, yeah, that one, the news that... Well, you know, but what happens if the crash test dummy identifies as the opposite gender? What are we supposed to do then? We could have a bunch of biological male crash test dummies that are identifying not.
Yes. And I want to know what difference it makes with a crash test dummy if they put plastic breasts on it or not. And I also, there's another thing now. They're missing out. They have another opportunity here. What about obese crash test dummies, because they're leaving them out too, because they must be affected differently in a crash?
Well, they probably are, though, given the amazing inertia from your stomach flying forward without the belt on it. Now, I know we're kind of making fun of it. There probably is some serious aspect of making sure that you have the crash test dummies built properly. And the only reason to bring this up, though, is that, you know, women, of course, have different hip and skeletal structures than men. And men and women, you know, you have to make sure that the restraints are operating correctly there. I'm just kind of spitballing on that, but I'm thinking that's where they're coming from.
It's
okay,
possible, but I don't think it's going to be that different. Because, I mean, there's all different sizes of people, too. You know, there's tall people, short people. I mean, are they going to have to do a test for every possible body type on Earth before they can say that this car is safe? People with this body type must sit in the passenger seat because the driver's seat is not registered to accommodate their body type. I mean, it's just getting so insane. And then not just – they don't even call it, you know, just – they call it by calling it gender bias. They're taking it into just, you know, some ridiculous direction instead of, you know, the actual science behind possible differences. And it's just making me crazy. And these are the same people that think it's okay for men who say they're women to play sports with girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that doesn't cause any damage as the men beat the women to death in the various sports activity.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
That doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason, Francine, when you watch now, I don't know, you ever watch that American Ninja show?
No, Bill.
Okay. Well, when I'm looking for mindless entertainment, I actually have a DVR'd American Ninja. I think it's on NBC. And it is amazing to watch all of these mostly young men get to the very top of all of these amazing obstacle courses. It is just astounding, the athleticism. And there's a reason why very few women make it to the top of that. They don't have the upper body strength. They just don't.
That's right. And that's why having men play in women's sports is utterly unfair.
Viva la différence, my friend. Viva la différence.
I love the difference.
Exactly.
You show me a man with good arms and I'm happy.
I'll bet you are. We'll talk about that another time. All right. Thanks, Francine.
Yes, Bill.
All right. Oh, my gosh. It's a couple minutes after 9 o'clock. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Now, we have what's going on here at Markley Van Camp and Robbins for the Thursday show coming up here in just a little bit. Gold has just been on a tear, and it's better to buy some gold even just a little bit too early than it is to get it too late. Ultimately, in spite of the fact that the markets are going up, gold has been going up too. The markets are being driven nuts there due to buying, especially by the central banks. And why are they doing this? Because they're realizing that ultimately there's pressure on the Western economies and their currencies, and it's about preserving wealth, and they want real assets on their books. Well, you can get this asset on your books, too. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland, one of my oldest sponsors, great people, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Whether you're looking to sell at 2650, 2660, where it was for a little bit yesterday, or whether you're looking to still add to your store, that's great. And they'll help you do this. Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers, Ashland and Grants Pass. Call 482-3715, jayaustinbrokers.com, grantspasscoins.com. And you can also buy online at their latest site, fortunereserve.com. That's fortunereserve.com.